Well, good morning. I'd like to say that you guys are the lucky ones because I was very sleepy in the first service. Even when the gentlemen came to me, I always feel sorry for the people that attend the first service. I know they're the early risers. But he said, you weren't really all yourself today. You're kind of, did you sleep okay? Right? Some people notice, so. But anyhow, I'm glad to be here this morning and share the word with you. Like I said, Pastor Kenny's away on a vacation, and both Pastor Ken and Pastor Larry have shared already on this new theme that we're in this year, single focus. And now it's my turn. Finally, it is my turn. And there's a lot of different goals that I have for this year. One of them was to get healthy. How about that for a change? Get healthy, get fit. And how do I look? You look good? I'm on a special diet. I'm not going to tell you what the diet is because then you're all going to get on it. So I'll just tell you one thing. I cut out bread. I've eaten bread my whole life. And it's kind of hard, you know, when you live in Europe and wherever you go, it smells like bread, right? It's like you walk down the street, there's bakery on every corner, and it's just the smell. It's just so beautiful and amazing. And even if there's no bakery, all the moms and grandmas are making the bread in their ovens at home, right? So you just cannot avoid the smell of bread. So that's all I've eaten my whole life. And I figured, well, I think it's time to change it up a little bit. It's different for different people, but for me personally, I always felt like bloated and low energy, tired. Some days, like when I have really long days, by the afternoon, I am completely exhausted. But now, actually, over the past couple of weeks, I've done pretty well. I'm feeling healthier, I'm feeling better, and I think I'm feeling thinner. Some people were telling me after the service, "Yeah, you look a little thinner." My confidence level is up to continue on with the diet. So that's one of my goals. 2018 didn't really work out because I wanted to try all these different foods. And my wife is a great cook. And, you know, when she makes good food, it's just you can't say no. But I had to say a lot of no's. And my wife is amazing. She actually is adjusted even stuff that we buy now in the grocery store. It's kind of all to suit my diet. And it works out pretty well. So let's see how long I can survive. What do you say? That's one of my goals. But another big focus for this year for myself, I want to share my single focus for you for this year. There's going to be a lot of messages over the next couple of weeks over this theme. And Pastor Ken had some really good stuff. And I'll touch on some of the things that he said in the past. But for me personally, this year is going to be about love. Deep love. With my family, with my wife and my children. And that's going to be my focus, to just spend quality time with them. And, I've always had that and for those people that are family-oriented, that's kind of like, should always be in front. But this year is really going to be different. I'm really going to focus on that. And speaking of which, talking about family, you know, there's also another thing in Europe that's sort of known. It's not like a norm. Is when you see a person that's wearing all black, you sort of associate that with sort of sadness or something happens suddenly. So unfortunately, this past Thursday, one of my favorite uncles passed on. And so in our family, I'm not going to focus on the sadness part. I'm going to focus on the joy because I know where he's at. But he was one of my favorite uncles. Remember all the great vacations we've had together, all the care. And I know that in the world, usually, if you guys have had a privilege to have an uncle or an aunt, they're usually the best, right? They spoil you. If your parents don't want to spoil you, they're the ones to care for you, to take over some of the responsibilities and look after you. And so he was one of those guys, just really loved us, loved everyone. And that's one of the things that I remember about him, is he just loved everyone deeply. He just cared about other people more than himself. And that was a big thing about him. He always cared. He always, even in the moments of lack, even in a moment when he didn't have much, he would be always the first one to go out and help and give and of himself. And it was just great memories. And that's what I want to remember him for. That happened on Thursday. Very suddenly, it was totally unexpected. And you know when something unexpected happens, it's like a train just hits you from the back and you're just like, what just happened? So there's a little bit of a mourning and sadness back home with my dad. He was also one of his he was his oldest brother. So even just being away and not being able to be there, it's just there's all this stuff that you wish you can do. But I'm just grateful that I can pray and I can trust God that things are going to work out well with the family. And that out of all this sadness, there's going to be good stuff that will come out. Just celebrating his life and what he has accomplished. And you know, I thought about my life. And you know, when you have someone that's close to you that passes on, you know, 10 out of 10 people die. How about that? And a matter of fact, is all of us sitting here will one day vanish. And people have never tried to escape death. And I know that we won't escape death. But how many of you are excited that we have a promise and hope that we know what happens after life? We know what happens after we have our last breath. We know where we're going. And that's the hope that I live with. That's the hope that I have, that I want to transfer onto my boys, to have the same hope as they're growing up and my family and all the people around me. I want them to know about this hope. You know, but like I said, 10 out of 10 people die. We got to start thinking about things, you know, things happen suddenly. Unexpected things happen, right? So what do I want to remember? What do I want to be remembered by? It always comes back, for me personally, it always comes back to this question. And I always ask myself, what do I really want to be? I really want to be remembered by, like someone who really loved deeply. Someone that really loved deeply, not only God, but his family and those people around them. You know, and that's one of the basic human needs, is to be loved. To love and to be loved. That's why God created us. That's what God created you. That's why God created me, is to love on us. Now, what happened after that is humanity has decided to go on their own way. And the Bible is actually a story of love. You know, Christianity, it's a story of love. It's a story of God loving his creation, chasing after us, and then us loving him back. That's what the Bible really is. If you could summarize it in one word, it would be love. Love of God towards us. So that's what I want to be known for. I want to be known by love. And remembering my uncle, and you know, he really loved deeply. He really did. And I want that for myself. I want that for you. I want that for everyone in this room, for everyone outside of these walls. That's what humanity should be all about too, love. Everyone wants to be loved. Everyone wants to be appreciated. And then the problem comes when we don't feel love, when we don't feel appreciated. That's when the problems start happening. That's when negative things start happening. And then you see, I was talking to my wife, who was just watching a show. I don't know if it was a show or a movie. There's all these men in a prison. It was a prison with all the men. And I'm thinking to myself, just thought popped into my mind, like all these men used to be just innocent boys. They were full of love and growing up with their parents, you know, or mom or dad, or maybe some of them didn't have, but they were all just boys, innocent. And then you look at them now, and they ended up in the prison, and they ended up in this place. And you're thinking, how does that happen? How does a person come from here to there? How do all the criminals and all the crime and sin and all the bad things that happen, how do people get there? I really believe it's the lack of love that gets people to a certain place that they don't even understand. They don't even know any better. Because some of the people have not received love whether growing up or even just in life, and they don't even know how to give the love, right? So that's the lack of love really that causes all these things to happen. But I'm here to encourage you that God loves you just the way you are. You don't have to do anything to earn God's love. He already loves you just the way you are. He already loves you. He already cares for you. All you have to do is just accept the love and say, okay, God, thank you for loving me. Now help me to show that love to others. And that sort of summarizes the title of my sermon today. And my single focus idea for this year is to love deeply. Love deeply. How deep does your love go for people around you? Whether it's your loved ones, whether it's your neighbors, people just around you at your work or your workplace or whatever you are, how deep does your love go? And there's a song in the world there's actually a lot of songs about love. And this happened to be a Valentine's weekend, so it kind of works out that I talk about love. But when you think about it, most of the songs that have ever been written, and they're the most popular songs, like the list of first 100 on iTunes, there's 99% of those songs are all about love. It's either about love or a broken heart. That's what it's about. So usually broken heart is a result of lack of love, right? So it's all love, 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 love. But really, do people really understand the concept of love, what love really is? Bible tells us that God is love, and there's no true love apart from God. There's no true love apart from God. So can people really love without God in their life? I don't think they can. They really can. Now, we'll go through a few things here I want to share with you this morning, but it really comes down to our priorities. And Pastor Larry shared a couple months ago about our family priorities, our priorities in life. And you know, I just want to remind you, our main priority in life, our love should be towards God. That's the main thing. And then if you're married, your spouse, then your children, then your family, and then everything else, career, and so on. Now, for the single people, it's the same thing, except you just remove the spouse and the children, obviously. Unless you have children or without the spouse, it doesn't matter. The order is the same. You got to follow the order and priorities in your life, the people that need the most of your love, most of your attention, right? But going back, I want to start off with reading a couple of scriptures. And we're going to focus on one specific verse out of which is very simple. I'm going to have just 3 points for you. But we're going to just work through it. And then we're going to come to an end. And I'm going to share something with you practically from a psychologist that shares something about sharing this type of love with other people. So let's just start in 1 Peter 4. And this is what it says. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. This is what it says. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. And here's the verse we're going to be focusing on today. And above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Let's go to the next verse. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And if anyone speaks, talking about the last week's message, the pastor can share it. If anyone speaks, the words are very important. They should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power ever, forever and ever. Amen. So that's what Peter writes about love. And I want to just emphasize a few things before I move on to unpack this for you. A lot of you have heard this used before in different, maybe even at the church or teaching that you've heard somewhere. But we as human beings, we have three parts to ourselves. We are first spiritual beings that have a body. So the Bible talks about our body as being the house for the earth, the tent that is here on the earth. So we have a spirit, but we also have a soul. Spirit, soul, and body. How many of you have you heard that before, those terms? We are the spirit, the soul, and the body. So we're not only the body. We're not only what we see in our material world. We are much more and much deeper than that. We're the spirit and the soul. It was cute. The other day, I was reading a story, Bible stories. I try to keep up every night with my boys and read them a story from a Bible, the kids' Bible. And we're reading a story about when a young man approached Jesus and he said, "Well, how do you get the eternal life? Like you, Jesus, the stuff that you're talking about, the kingdom of heaven and all that stuff. How do I get that? How do I, you know?" He was probably thinking, "Well, I might be able to earn it or buy it or something." And then Jesus says, No. The only way you can get an eternal life is to be born again." Right? And in our people that don't know about the spirit and the soul aspect, they just wonder, "Well, what does that mean?" And this is the exact question that he had back. He said, "Well, does that mean I go back into the mom's womb? I got to come out again? Like, what are you talking about, Jesus?" And then Jesus says, no, it's much deeper than that. It's a spiritual birth that I'm talking about. That the spirit that we're born in is a fallen spirit, is a spirit of flesh. And then when we're born again, our spirit is born again. And then we have this life, right? We have this spiritual life that we live. We talk about all the time, the abundant life, this abundant spiritual life, that no matter what's happening, if the whole world is falling apart, we have our spirit is joyful with God, with God's spirit, right? And that's the only thing that's required to go to heaven after we breathe our last breath. That's the only thing that's required is to be born again. Spiritually, right? But then a lot of people either forget or don't talk about the soul aspect, which is one that I want to focus on today mostly. And that is the one thing that I'm still struggling with to completely understand, because I'm only 32 years of age. And let's just imagine all of you here today are 32 years of age. How does that feel? Okay, the young ones, you guys can stay younger, whatever you are at, just leave. But everybody else 32. You know, you're trying to understand this aspect. What is a soul? Okay, so what's soul? And then you've heard this before. The soul consists of will, emotions, and our feelings, right? But then I would say it's that, but then it's so much more. It's our feelings. It's our character. It's who we really are deep down. That's who we really are. Even from different religions, people will say, "Well, soul is an eternal. And soul is actually what keeps on living on." And yes, that's true. The soul keeps on living on. And that is really a sum of all things that we are. And our soul, as we're born into this world, as a little baby and we grow up, our soul is being molded by all these different things. By the world that we're experiencing, by the way we're being raised, our parents, our influences, adults, then from, the culture, different things that we're experiencing in life. That's how our soul is being molded. And then you have some people that grow up, they start, like I said, they start off well, but then they don't receive a proper soul education, or their spirit is not reborn, and then all the bad things from the world start happening, and then they find themselves in a hole, wondering what happened. But if the spirit did not get reborn, then there was no influence, a spiritual influence to the soul to become better, right? But now we have a lot of even people in the world right now that have a good spirit, they have a healthy body, but they have a bad soul. And you know, and you can go around and say, "Well, I've heard people say that. Oh, that person has a good soul." But that person doesn't really have a good soul. And the soul, the word soul actually comes from a Greek word that means psychic, which is, like I said, it's our character. It's our, and then you got the psychotherapy that comes out of that. You know, there's certain people that try to just treat the soul aspect. But I really believe in a spiritual terms, and just talking about this in our own Christian lingo to per se, is I really believe that soul can be heavily influenced by the spirit. And it can either be healed or it can just struggle. Like, for example, my mother, suffered from a severe mental illness for about 15 years. Her soul was not well, but her spirit was always fervent. But then there was times when the spirit wasn't strong, and then she would fall again. And it would be like a constant struggle. It would be a constant struggle. And I didn't understand any of that stuff until just recently. That there is an emotional aspect of us that really makes all the difference. I realized that my mom, as a result of all the stuff that has happened to her growing up, she didn't have a healthy soul. Emotionally, she was broken. She was completely out of all the influence, all the things that were happening. And this is not to put my mother down, but she just didn't have a healthy mental state of being. Her emotions were all broken. And she didn't know how to put it. She actually couldn't put it together. It was the only God really can take our emotions and put them all together into place if we allow him. But then people do different things, and there's so much to this. I'm not going to go much into this, but I just want to leave you at this and say there's a deeper level of love that we need to experience. And there's a deeper level of love that God talks about to us that we need to understand, that I'm still trying to understand. And that's the deep love I'm talking about right now. I want to share with you when he says, love each other deeply. Not just love each other. You can just stop there and say, just love each other. No, he said, love each other deeply. There's something in that word, deep. And you might have never seen it before, but someone will say to you, oh, he got in trouble. And you're thinking, yeah, he got in trouble. But then someone's going to come and say, oh, he got in trouble deeply. And you're like, oh, what? What did he do? Like when you add the deeply, it all of a sudden it's like really deep, right? And we also have a saying going around, so, you know, that was really deep. You know, it's not a surface stuff. It's not like, you know, like I hear all the time people, preachers that, it's like all these preachers are trying to come up with like a deep statement that's going to be like, whoa, I got to think about this for like a week to actually process it, right? But that's not really what it is. It's like emotionally, when you connect with it emotionally, and then it makes sense all of a sudden. It connects all the dots because it has to do with your. Now, some people will hear the same statement and they're going to go, I didn't understand a word he said. Right? Because their emotions are not there. They're not connecting with it emotionally, deeply. So that's what I want to focus on. And before I, my timer is down, so I got to keep moving here. Let's just focus on three points here from this verse. And this is the first one. Above all. And this goes back to the greatest commandment when a Pharisee came and he was going to trick Jesus and says, well, God, what is the greatest commandment we should follow? And Jesus said, well, okay, do I got to do this? Do I have to do this? Do I got to do this? I've done all these things. And he just, no. The greatest command summed up in this word, love. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And that's it. Love God with all your soul or your mind or your strength, and love each other. Love others more as yourself. And that's really the summary of the Bible. You know, a lot of people will say, well, I got to follow all these rules. I got to do all these things. And some people say, well, you know, I think holiness is like the biggest thing. I got to focus on that. And yes, that's all good. The sanctification and getting to a certain point and being holy. And that. But even when you strip everything else apart, love is really the main thing. Love really is the main thing. Love towards God and love towards the people around us. Why is that the greatest thing? Because when you talk about the humanity, we're all broken. We're all imperfect, right? So you can't expect to have perfect relationships. Even though we can strive towards that, it will never happen because we are imperfect. Now, with the help of a spirit, we can slowly, gradually get there. But we're only going to be really perfect when we get to heaven. Right? So because with that coming in that into mind and thinking about, okay, so no, I'm not perfect. My husband is not perfect. My children are not perfect. My coworkers, nobody is perfect. Coming with that in mind, then you understand why God asked you to love everyone deeply. As a pastor, I'm not perfect. I'm just like you. Struggle with mostly the same things that you struggle with. And all the effort that we do and all the, it can be like the, in the First Corinthians, it says, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what kind of gifts you have. It doesn't matter what you accomplish. If you take all the riches that you have ever collected and you give it to the poor, if you don't have love, it's like, boom, it's like a wind. It's like nothing happened. It doesn't matter what you do in life. If you don't have love backing it up, what's the point? It doesn't make any difference. So, above all, love is the greatest thing. But then he moves on to the next section. He says, above all, love each other. And he didn't stop there. He says, love each other deeply. Deeply. And when I think of the word deep, I really think of a more of a, something that I just started realizing over the past year, is it's a love at a deep emotional level that most guys, nothing against the guys, but because I'm a guy, the most guys don't understand what really emotions are all about. You know, we're very logical. Like, we could be sitting in a room, and I always say this, I can be sitting in a room, you could be sitting in a room with a significant other, and a wife will start crying and start talking, and you're just going to sit there and kind of wonder, why is she crying? Because you don't understand the emotional aspect of love, and you don't understand how to connect with that. And then going beyond that, saying, well, how do you really connect with that? Well, you might have to start crying to really connect emotionally, right? But guys don't get this, because for us, our main thing that we need is honor and appreciation. So we don't understand the love, the emotional side of it, things, right? So that's the thing that I'm still trying to figure out myself. But you can love with words, you can love with actions, but then you can deeply love with words and deeply love with actions too. It can be a very deep thing if you add emotions to it. So humanly speaking, for me, it's like love each other deeply. Love each other from the depths of your soul and your heart. It's not just the surface stuff. It goes much deeper. It goes much deeper than just a normal conversation that you can have. But the conversation is, like Pastor Ken was talking about last week, is a starting point of everything. With our words, we start the fights and arguments. With our words, we mend and we take broken relationships and we mend them together. It's with our words that everything starts. So that's what it means to love deeply, emotionally. Because love covers multitude of sins. That's the point number three. I like to summarize always my sermon in a sentence. And I did it again. And this is what I really want to stand by. Is life of deep love covers the life of deep mistakes and deep sin. Life of deep love covers the life of deep sin. There's no mistake, there's no sin that the other person has done to you that cannot be covered by deep love. I really believe that. And because that's my single focus for this year, myself personally, I really hope that will be your single focus as well, or one of your single focuses, is to forget the past, forget what happened even yesterday or even this morning, and say, okay, from now on, I can cover all the mistakes that have been, all the wrongs that have been done to me by deep love, by going deeper. You know, this kind of sets the tone for life. This is kind of like the Holy Grail. Because part of our everyday experience will be mistakes, will be sin, will be things that have been said, that have been done to us, that are not fair. And there's part of it is we're going to feel angry, we're going to feel upset, we're going to feel like throwing things at each other, or calling and saying all these things. We're going to feel upset, but because that's a normal part of life, we have to go beyond that and say, okay, how do I love the other person deeply? How do I show that love first? It works in any relationship, whether it's a marriage, whether it's relationship with your kids, whether it's relationship with your brothers or sisters or cousins or your coworkers, it works in any relationship, really. Is we're imperfect, but there's love that covers the imperfection. There's a love that covers the imperfection. When we see the sins and mistakes of other people, we have a choice. We can rush to expose their sinfulness, to expose their shame, to tell everyone about it, to talk about it, to bring it up, to quarrel over it, to just talk. Or instead of spreading the guilt and condemnation, we can actually choose to be the aid, to be the help to those that have just sinned, that have just made a mistake. We can become God's police force and blow the whistle on sinfulness, say, you did this and you did that, and you were like this and you were like that. Or we can just provide healing to those that are wounded, those that are hurting. And I always say this, I said in the past, I'll say it again, hurt people always hurt people. So when we're hurt, we tend to hurt people, right? And we get hurt often, but we have to learn that not to react, but to respond in love. And not only respond in love, but respond in deep love at the emotional level. Now, I really believe that whoever experiences the deep love will remember the deep love forever. Will be able to give deep love always. And just to finish off today, I've read this book years ago, but I've just was reminded through a conversation that I had with friends recently about this thing of us being emotional beings and how we're actually, it's really all about that's who we are. But then how we have to pay attention to our emotions. And if we do that, then we can love well, deeply. And this book was called 7 Habits of the Effective People. I don't know if some of you have read it. It's a really good, powerful book from a psychologist talking about us as being emotional beings. And he said, he was talking about us being like a bank account. Just like you have a bank account at the bank. He said that we all have an emotional bank account. And the thing is, we're going to have things deposited into our emotional bank account, and we're going to have the things withdrawn from emotional bank account, right? We're going to have things, people, our close ones, deposit. But there's going to be lots of withdrawals as well. And what happens when you, for those of you that like checking your bank accounts, what happens when you're low at your bank account? What do you try to do? You know that the bill is coming out soon. What do you try to do? You try to fill it up so that the check doesn't bounce or that, you know, something bad doesn't happen. In a physical sense of that word. But what happens when we're emotionally drained and low, and then someone comes and makes another withdrawal, what happens? We explode, we get angry, we get frustrated, we get into this mode that doesn't look Christian. So I'll just share really quickly a couple of things here how we can deposit into an emotional bank account, just practical things that I really believe if you take in and if you try to live it out, I really believe it will solve a lot of issues in relationships that you have around you. Number one is you need to understand the individual. Understanding the individual, which means this. A lot of people in conversations don't really understand each other, and they're only there to not understand, but to respond. And this is one of the things that I'm struggling with the most, is when I'm in a conversation, a serious conversation, I'm just listening, but I have a response for everything, right? Some people will say a defense wall, right? Like I have a defense wall, and that's I have that. I always have to respond. I always think that I'm smarter. I always have something to say for everything, right? But this principle is basically, in order for you to deposit into the emotional bank account, all you have to do is just understand. So which means you listen and you don't respond. You just listen to understand, not to respond. And then the other person feels that you've deposited something into their emotional bank account, that you've actually heard them. You've actually heard what they said, right? That's why we have a lot of misunderstandings, because we always like to respond, but you don't have to respond. You can just listen to understand. Number two is very simple. The way we can do a deposit and the other person's emotional bank account is by keeping commitments. You've had this before. Just a simple thing, like when someone says, oh, I'll show up a certain time, but they don't show up at a certain time. Or when someone says they'll do something, but they don't follow through, they don't do it. I'm preaching to myself and then to you. This is one of the things that I have to really get on and really apply in my own life to keep the commitments. Because when you keep the commitments, the trust level goes up with the other person. And if your trust level grows, guess what? If you make a little mistake, if you do a withdraw, things will be okay. But if you keep failing at the thing over and over and over again, then things are going to get a little feisty. Number three is clarify expectations. You know, I'm surprised even myself how often I think that other people can read my mind. And even the people that have been married for like 10 or 20, I've been married for 10 years, and I still tell my wife, please just clarify what you mean by that expectation. I need to hear, not only from her, but from everybody else, what is it that you expect from me? Don't expect for the other person to know. Just clarify what is it that you expect from me. Clarify the expectation, and that's the way to deposit. And then there's less misunderstandings, because in relationships, unfortunately, we have a lot of misunderstandings because we don't clarify expectations. But when you clarify, there's a level of trust. Number four is attend to little things. Sometimes the little things, people, there's a saying, the little things are the big things. The little things are the big things, right? So just the little special things that we can do for each other, that we can pay attention to, things that we overlook or oversee sometimes. Or sometimes some people have a ability to read in between the lines. You know, I don't. But when you have a conversation with someone trying to read between the lines and what's really going on there, just pay attention to the little things. Because when you pay attention to the little things, people feel like you care, emotionally care about them. It works really good in marriage. And I have a long time to go for this one. And then, of course, Pastor Ken always emphasizes showing personal integrity. So this is kind of like a moral floor upon which trust in relationship is built. So we need to operate out of this character. Make it easy for others to trust us, to be genuine, to be honest, to know when to be sarcastic and when not to be sarcastic. You know, this is one of the biggest struggles that I have in my life. I always tend to joke about everything, and there's people going through things, and I just sarcastically say something, and I find myself many times in trouble because of it. You know, but just integrity is when you're honest, and when not only you're honest, but there's no white lies, there's no this and that, he says, she's that, but you're actually true to what you believe. You stand by what you say, and you try to live it as much as you can. And then other people gain trust. And when you show the integrity to other people, when you don't lie, when you don't, when you're honest and all those things, then you just keep building other person's emotional bank account. And this works really well in any kind of relationship. Personally, I gotta get this one right. I really gotta get this one right. Because I'm a pastor, so, you know, there's a little bit more of an expectation for me to have integrity. But overall, we should all live and strive to live a life of integrity and honesty and truth. And number six is apologizing when we make a withdrawal, an emotional withdrawal, when we make a mistake. And this is probably one of the hardest things that we as humans need to work on, is to actually apologize sincerely. Oh man, I don't know how many times, and you know, I know that I made a mistake, and I'll say I'm sorry, And then my wife will say, "You're not really sorry. There wasn't really like, it didn't really come out of your, the depth. There was no depth to it. It was just like to say, I'm sorry," right? So there's much more to apologizing. There's much more to it. And it actually, we have to learn this, this one really, really swiftly, because by the time you leave here, maybe next hour, 2 or 5 hours, there's going to be an emotional withdrawal that's going to happen. And you might have to apologize 6 times on the way home. Or 5 times. You know, when you apologize sincerely from the depth of your heart, then things shift emotionally, and there's safety and there's security, right? And that's why I believe when you, like like in these points that I just shared with you, when you love each other deeply, you will cover any mistake, any sin, and even the ones that people will say, "Oh, no, that's, you know, that there's no sin that cannot be covered when we love each other deeply." And because we have, you know, the Bible talks about, and talk about, let's say, relationships, and says, and there was an apostle says, "Well, what happens, like, is it okay to divorce your wife or your husband?" And then Jesus says, "No, it's not, but because of the hardness of your heart, unfortunately, it happens." And it's happened. It's happened to a lot of people. But I've seen the other side of things where things got worked through. There were sins that I would they were committed in relationships, and I still know some of these people, and they're still together. They worked through it. They, you know, the trust was broken, but it was brought back together, and all this stuff. But it's so much more deeper than we think. It goes so much more deeper. And if we really try, and if we really get to that deep level of love, I really believe that a lot of things can sort. But it has to work two ways, right? We can't expect, and this is not a ticket for someone to say, "Well, you know, now they have to, you know, be the first ones to start depositing, and then I'm gonna..." No. We have to start from ourselves, right? And do as best as we can to go into this deep love and look at our relationships around us and say, "Okay, where have I done wrong? What have I said? What have I done?" And start from yourself and say, "Okay, here's all these things that I gotta, that I've said, that I've done, that I really need to sort through. I really need to apologize. I really need to be sincere. Yes, I'll apologize 60 times, but this time I'm going to be sincere. And it's going to be at the deeper level." So we have to look around us and we have to say, "Okay, here's all the stuff, here's all the imperfections, here's all the mess." But when you strip away all that mess and all the imperfection and all the brokenness and humanity, and you take that all away, and you really just have the love, that's deep love, that's there, that comes from God, then things can be resolved. Then things can come back to normal. That's how we were put together by God. So I just invite you, as we stand up this morning, I want to pray for you. Life of deep love covers the life of deep mistakes and sin. It is the deep love that really covers the deep mistakes and sin. And that is the kind of love that God wants you to live in, operate in, and continue on in living. An emotional type of love that you might have never even known. I've never known about this concept up until just recently. The emotional love and what it really means to love deep down from the depths of your heart. And this is so important because we are surrounded by imperfect people every single day of our lives. Even my little boy is looking at them right now, and they're so cute and innocent. But they're so imperfect. There's so long to go. And I want them to know, you know, looking at the innocent baby right now, just holding Zion just before I came to speak here, so innocent and so beautiful and so amazing. But my desire for him is that he would experience deep love And that he'd be able to give that deep love as he goes on in his life. Because that's what really is all about. The deep love that comes from the Father. So this morning, I want to pray for you. If you want to be included in this prayer and you want to receive this deep love, I want to really pray for you. And I want that love to become a part of your life, reality. I want you to walk in that love, to operate in that love, and to be the first one to initiate that love. Not wait for the other person. I always say, you be the first one to make that decision. You be the first one to make that decision. So if you want to be included, just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Father, this morning, we pray that this message about deep love that covers multitude of sins that comes from you, God, will become a reality in our lives, God. Some of us are broken. Some of us have grown up, never received this. We never have gotten it. We've never seen it. But we know that it's real. And we know that it comes from you, God. So Father, help us. First of all, forgive us our own sins. Cleanse us with your love. And help us, God, to live and walk in this love every single day of our lives. To be able to forgive, to be able to offer love, to be able to emotionally deposit and keep depositing into the emotional bank accounts around of people around us, the closest to us, God. And help us to keep that in front of us, God. Help us to really keep that in front of us, to walk in it, to live in it, Jesus. We cannot do it without you, God. So restore us, God. Give us strength. Give us the courage to be the first ones that will make a decision to walk this out, to live this out. And as we enter the Valentine's weekend, I pray, God, that you would bless those that are married, those that are in relationships, those that are single. God, bless everyone with the love that comes from you, Father. First and foremost, so that we can live and walk in this love every day of our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen and amen. Happy Valentine's to all the lovebirds in the house. And have a wonderful week. See you next Sunday.